Children, obey your mothers. Usually on Mother's Day, people talk about mothers, and I'm going to talk about mothers to some extent, but this is directed to the children of the mothers, because after all, they're the ones who are really have the admonishment in the Scripture, and they're the ones who should realize that Mother's Day is not just one day out of the year. Mother's Day is every day of the year, and God willing, Christian people should know that better than any other, because they have an instruction book which, of course, points that out, that Mother's Day really is every day out of the year. When we think of obedience to mothers, and of course to fathers, naturally anyone who knows something about the Bible thinks of the Ten Commandments. Turn with me to Matthew 19, and we'll read here Jesus' reference to some of the commandments, and he made mention several times. Most young people know this, at least to some extent. Matthew 19, and we'll start reading in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth, up what lack I yet? And then Jesus went on to explain, love for his brethren and sell all he had and so on. But it's interesting that Jesus listed immediately, in talking about eternal life, he listed six of the commandments, one of which was, honor thy father and thy mother. So Jesus carries over into the New Testament very definitely this same specific order of God that children are to honor their father and their mother. This apparently is so important that it is mentioned four times in the Gospels. I won't read all of them, but Jesus refers to it in Matthew 15, then here in Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. In several places, he goes further. He actually teaches a lesson regarding rebellion in opposition to the commandment of honoring your father and your mother. And you young people to whom I am speaking, you think of this as we continue this sermon on obeying and honoring your mother, that you girls are all going to be, God willing, mothers someday. And you young men are all going to be married to mothers someday. So you're never going to get away from mothers. You may move away and you may live somewhere else, but then you're going to have a wife who's going to be a mother, and your mother's going to be a grandmother. So all of your life you have, or should have, an understanding of the definition that comes directly from the commandments. Turn with me back to the giving of the commandment in Exodus 20. In verse 1 it says, And God spake all these words, saying, God Almighty actually spoke these words in an audible voice to the children of Israel. And I know today we hear ministers, and most ministers are somewhat like myself. In order for any audience of any size to hear me, I need a microphone and some amplification and so on. But I'm talking about God speaking in a voice where 3 million people heard him clearly. The only time this has ever happened, according to the Scripture itself, and God actually speaks this, never before or since has he done such a thing, and one of the things that God spoke in this voice of thunder that all of Israel heard is in verse 12, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here God has given a command to the entire nation of Israel, and this is sometimes referred to as the first commandment with promise. It is actually a promise of a reward for obedience to this voice of God speaking like thunder from the mountain. He says, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I believe that is actually twofold. Speaking individually, it would mean that you would have long life by honoring your father and mother. And speaking to the nation of Israel, it means they would live long in the land. In other words, God would protect their nation if they individually honor their father and mother according to what God said from the mount. To understand the importance of this one commandment along with the others, let's read something in chapter 19 as to when this was given, what was actually happening when God spoke in this audible voice from the mountain. Exodus 19, beginning in the first verse. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Moses was told to go back and tell the Israel people that I'm going to tell you certain things, which if you will obey, you'll be a peculiar treasure, a peculiar people unto me above all people upon the face of the earth. And one of the things God then told them when they said they would do this was honor your father and your mother. And you know it says in verse 19 of this chapter, And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Then Moses went up. In other words, Moses heard this first, and then when he came down, then God spoke to all the children of Israel in this terrible voice like thunder. We read in other parts of the scripture that they were so frightened of this, they actually asked Moses to ask God to never speak to them again in that voice. It was so terrible, and that voice of God, and I hope I can convey to the young people, that voice of God, which was so terrible that Israel asked God to never do it again, said to them, said to every child in Israel, honor your father and your mother. That's God's direct command to the Israel people. Let's turn back a little further in the Bible to Genesis 2, and we'll read a few other places in the scripture where it speaks specifically about mothers and the relationship of mothers and wives and sons and daughters. Genesis 2 is the creation of Adam and Eve, of course, and starting in verse 22, we find that Eve was brought to Adam, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So here is given, apparently, the only place where a man actually has a right to break his connection with his mother. If he is married, then he is joined unto his wife. And this goes, literally, for every unmarried man, his mother comes first. This is the only place in the scripture that a man may leave. In other words, break the actual cord that binds him to his parents only when he takes a wife, and then he comes one with his wife. Turn to Genesis 28. Here is an example of obedience. In the last verse of Genesis 27, we find that Rebekah, Jacob's mother, said to Isaac, Jacob's father, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So Jacob's mother was concerned and fearful that Jacob might marry among these Canaanitish women, take a wife out of the Canaanites, rather than among his own people. And then it goes on in chapter 28, And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. In other words, he says, you go get a wife of your own kindred. Then he adds the blessings that God had given to Abraham and Isaac. And give thee the blessings of Abram to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And then in verse 7 it says that Esau saw that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. You know the rest of the story, of course. Jacob went there and worked for Laban for his one wife and ended up with two wives. But they were of his kindred. They were of his father's house. And in effect, the beginning of the children of Israel, the sons who were born to Jacob, that began the line of the children of Israel, the line that constitutes the entire story and promise of this whole Bible, began and was followed through by God because Jacob did what? He obeyed his mother and his father. Now today, young people are usually quite set that they are going to choose their own mate. This was not done in Israel in the centuries past. The parents had a lot more to do with the choosing of the wives and husbands of their sons and daughters than they do today. And it's pretty hard to break that, but I would say this. You young people, think on this. When you start going with someone that you may eventually marry, you consider the attitude and the statements of your parents as to that person. You think about it. And you understand that according to God and according to the obedience of Jacob, our father Jacob Israel, he chose his wife at the direct command of his father and mother. They told him exactly where to go and who to see and how to choose the wife that was to become the mother of Israel or the mother of Israel. But even so, the beginning of the fulfillment of all prophecies of Abraham and Isaac to Jacob and Israel began with Jacob's obedience to his father and his mother. Turn to Deuteronomy 5. Here we have Moses repeating the commandments to the children of Israel just before they were to go into Canaan. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ear this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. He's reminding them that I'm talking to you people, and you're the ones who were there when this was made. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of fire. He's reminding them that God spoke to them in this terrible, thunderous, audible voice. And he repeats then the rest of the commandment. In verse 16 he says, Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here he enlarged a little more, referring to the well-being of the people. The well-being of the whole nation of Israel had something to do with the children honoring their father and their mother. And I should add here in this, it doesn't say that you forget to honor your father and your mother after you become a father or a mother. No, this is a lifelong thing. As long as your parents are alive, even though they may eventually be grandmothers and great-grandmothers, you still honor your mother according to the Lord's commandment. In a previous chapter here in Deuteronomy, he describes this a little. Verses 32 and 33. And you young people, you think on this description as to how Israel heard this command to honor their father and their mother. Moses is writing here, For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard, and live. In verse 36, out of heaven he made thee hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Israel was told out of the midst of this fire in a voice that Moses here implies would have killed anyone else. He said, have you ever heard of such a thing? Have you ever heard of people hearing the voice of God and then living? This was a miraculous thing that God actually allowed Israel to hear his voice and stay alive. And you recall, the people were quite fearful. They thought this voice was going to kill them. And this voice said, children of Israel, honor thy father and thy mother. This is not parents telling their children to obey them. This is not dad coming along and saying to you young people, now you listen to your mother when she speaks. This isn't mother saying, well, now your father's coming home tonight and I'm going to tell him such and so and you listen to him. This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the voice of God in thunder telling Israel, you obey, you honor your fathers and your mothers because this has something to do with your well-being and that of the whole nation of Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy 21. And this is a fearsome passage to read. But this will demonstrate, perhaps as nothing else will, how God looks upon children. Children who rebel against their parents. Deuteronomy 21, starting in verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto him, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So, or in that manner, shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. As I say, this is a fearsome passage. You know, our own government today is thinking of passing legislation in which they are outlining what they call the rights of children. And in that legislation, they say children have a right of not being abused or ordered to do things which they should not by their parents and so on. So we are actually trying to pass laws in this land which are the exact opposite of God's law. Now, God didn't say a thing here about the child disobeying God and then being put to death. God said if the child disobeys his parents, he was to be put to death. In other words, the parents of the children literally stand in the place of God over those children. You know that rebellion and disobedience of God carries a death penalty in a number of places for various things in the Scripture. And here God says, children who are rebellious, notice this is not just get angry and take them down there. He says in verse 18, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. In other words, this is after a long time. This is after the parents have attempted to make the child obey and do that which he should. Now, some of you older people will remember that America actually had a law somewhat based on this some years ago. I think perhaps it's still on the books to some extent today. And it's a law regarding what they called incorrigible children. How many of you old people remember that title? Incorrigible. I can remember this when I was a young man, and apparently this was on the law books in the state of Wisconsin. It may still be. That if the parents had a child who would not obey them, they could take that child to the authorities. The authorities would take custody of the child and place him in a reform school or in some youth camp or in a foster home, and then the child had to obey the authorities, period. If not, they sent him to prison. They didn't kill him, but this followed the same procedure, that parents who had children which would not obey could actually turn that child over to the authorities. I wouldn't be surprised that's still on the law books today. There's a good reason for this. Some of you have read about crime statistics. You read a lot about crime in our newspapers today and various sources. You will realize that almost without exception, when some person is convicted or accused of murder or some heinous crime, or he's been a criminal for some time, or he's been a thief for some time, if anyone who writes up his story in the newspaper or in a book or anything traces it back, they will find that that young man or young woman began to have trouble with the authorities when they began to disobey their parents. In other words, the first thing was disobedience to their own parents. And then from that, disobedience to their teachers, disobedience to other authorities, and eventually a life of crime resulting in prison or a death sentence or something like that. But it always began the same way. And God Almighty, who created man and knows us, of course, could have foreseen this, that any person who was an incorrigible, who would not obey his parents after he was chastised and after they did all that they could. And God Almighty knows the love of parents for children. He knows that parents won't turn some son or daughter over to the authorities just to get rid of them. They will do everything in their power to keep that young son or daughter in line. But eventually, in order to protect the nation, God provided that that young son or daughter who would disobey would be executed by the community, executed by God's law. As I say, this is a terrible thing. It's hard to read in this day and age and realize that it's part of God's order for peace and tranquility in the land. Turn back to Exodus 21, for this is given right in the covenant that God made with Israel. Exodus 21, starting in verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. In other words, accidental death, he was not to be punished by execution. Verse 14, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die, death for murder. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth father or his mother shall surely be put to death. In other words, God Almighty places the same punishment on a young man or a woman who smites their parents or curses them as he does on deliberate murderers. In the eyes of God, this is as heinous a crime as murder. Now, I know I'm speaking mostly to young people, but I also know that most of you are going to have children, God willing, in the not-too-distant future. And you know, these days and months and years go by rather quickly, as some of us older people know. We can remember when we were the child of 15 and 16 and 17 years of age, and it seemed like only a few years, and here we had children of that age. So as parents, we remember the things that we did and thought and so on, and you can see how it is easy for a young person, especially between the ages of about 15 and 18, to become rebellious toward their parents. And I think it's in God's good time that they should be taught when they're younger the seriousness of this and what God thinks of it. This is not Pastor Emery. This is not your parents telling you, no, you obey your father and your mother. You honor your father and your mother. This is God Almighty speaking for the good of the nation, for the good of the people, and for your good, of course, also. A good son will make a good father, and a good daughter will make a good mother. And the contrary is usually true also. You find young people who are rebellious against their parents, and you'll find when they grow up and have children, they have all sorts of trouble with their children. So your learning and understanding of how you will be a good mother and a good father must come while you are a child under your father and your mother. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. This is the wisdom of Solomon. You've heard God's command. Now let's read some of Solomon's wisdom on this same subject. And of course, according to Peter, we know that this book, these writings, were written under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This is God speaking through Solomon here. Proverbs, the first chapter, we'll start reading in the first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In other words, those first six verses tell us the reason why Solomon wrote all of the rest of the book of Proverbs. This was to give you wisdom, understanding, and knowledge so that you would know many things that other people would not know who'd never read Solomon's wisdom or the books of Proverbs. And then he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So here at the very beginning of this book of wisdom, Solomon says, you fear God, that's the beginning of wisdom, and you listen to your father and your mother. Isn't that something? Solomon places the father and the mother right up there with God as having a desire of obedience out of the children. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chained about thy neck. And then he begins the writings of the Proverbs where he tells them all of these things and these gems of wisdom, which will make them wiser than the persons who do not read it. In chapter 6, verses 20 through 22, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And that, in effect, is saying, if you'll listen when your parents instruct you, and remember that no matter where you go and when you go, this will serve as an instruction for you. And how many of you have had the opportunity, it's not a very good one, of talking to people in trouble? I know as a minister I have, and I'm sure other older people have too. You talk to someone in trouble, and if you talk with them very long, somewhere along the line, they'll come up with, well, my mother told me such and so, or my father told me such and so. In other words, they remember that they had correct instruction from their parents if they had only listened to it. It's a tragic thing to hear that way, and sometimes, of course, young people never think on that until they get in trouble. Then they remember, Dad and Mom told me what I should or shouldn't have done. And so Solomon here, as I say in the beginning of Proverbs, he actually begins this by saying, you listen to God and you listen to your father and your mother. He equates the instructions of fathers and mothers to the instructions of God Almighty. Proverbs 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. And that's similar to 15 verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, having gone through this period I mentioned just a little while ago, from the ages of about 15 to 18, and I imagine most of you older people will remember this, it seems that if God has a way of taking young people from childhood into manhood or womanhood, from the age of about 15 on up to about 18, 19, 20 years of age, and that time is always marked by trouble between children and parents, usually involving the child thinking that he knows more than dad or more than mother. And the parents are old-fashioned, and they don't understand, and they don't know why I should want to do this, and so on. And I can speak from personal experience. This happened with me. When I was 15, 16 years of age, and I was going to high school, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't make my father understand that certain things should be done this way and so on and so on. He was old-fashioned. He wouldn't do it the way I wanted to do it. We lived on a farm at the time, and part of the problem was I was going to high school and taking a course in agriculture and farming and so on, and I was learning all sorts of things which he didn't agree with. Well, by the time I was 20 years old, I slowly began to dawn on me that my father was much more intelligent than I thought he was. He seemed to have learned a lot in that 5 years that I was going from 15 to 20. And I think you young people who have just gone through this time will agree with me. And this seems to be a normal thing. And I think young people should understand this. I think they can go through this time with a lot less trouble if they know when they're 12 or 13 that when they get to be 15 or 16 or 17, they're going to think they're pretty grown up and that they know a lot. And when they see this happening, and they will, then they'll recognize this is just God's method of bringing them into manhood, where they're going to have to start making some of their decisions on their own. Now, if they have the wisdom of God, and if they've read Solomon's Proverbs primarily, they will think long before they do something on their own decision if it happens to be in opposition to Dad's decision. Because Father's decision, 9 times out of 10, I should say 99 times out of 100, will probably be the right one, and they'll realize it 5 years later. But it's a terrible time for young people. Not a terrible time, it's a great time. But in relationship to parents, it sometimes can get to be a great trouble. But you just remember, God knows every person goes through this as he grows up. And he'll soon grow up, get a few years older, and father and mother will become intelligent and wise again, and their decisions will mean something to them. So you just live through this time, but you listen to what God says. You listen to your father and your mother. Chapter 19, verse 26 says, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Chapter 23, verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." When we're 15 to 18 years of age, as you recall, everyone who was 25 was quite old, weren't they? They were 27 or 28, boy, they were literally over the hill. So, when you think of your mother, usually you think of your mother as older because she has been anywhere from 18 to 30 years older than you have been all of your life. And when you're 40, your mother's going to be getting quite elderly. So God admonishes Israel through Solomon here that despise not thy mother when she is older. Now this means all of your life because your mother is always older than you are. And sometimes we tend to neglect our parents when we become parents ourselves. And I've heard this from grandparents who say, oh, well, they have their own lives and they have their own children. And there is a time when we become parents during the years when our children are young, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years of age, and there's lots to do, we're enjoying our family, and we sometimes forget our parents. God says, no, you don't do that. You remember your mother. And you think on this. If you ever reach a point where you not necessarily despise your parents, your mother or your father, but you kind of turn from them because you seem to have little in common, you think of this. You are one half of your mother, and you are one half of your father. And if you despise your parents, you actually are despising yourself. Because you're going to be like them. You are already like them. If you don't like their ways, perhaps someone isn't going to like your ways because you're going to be more like them as you go older. Many of us know this because we go back to an old neighborhood where we grew up, you know, and we meet someone we haven't seen for 20 years and they say, Ma, you look like your father. But we didn't think we'd look like him. Goodness sake, we couldn't get along with him too well and he had these old-fashioned ideas and then this fellow comes along and says, my goodness, you're the spitting image of your dad. Kind of brings you down, doesn't it? But that's right. You are. You are the image of your father and your mother. And if you turn away from them, you're actually turning away from that which you really are. Turn to Ezekiel 22. This is in God's admonition to the children of Israel in their nation and their land for disobedience. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. And he's talking about the city and the nation of Judah and Jerusalem. Show her all her abominations. And here is part of her abominations in verse 7, in thee have they set light by father and mother. One of the sins which God condemned Israel for was setting light by their own fathers and their mothers in the land. Verse 15, and I will scatter thee among the heathen, and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. If you'll read that chapter, you'll find God accuses them of murder and thievery, and we saw he accused them of what? Of not honoring their fathers and their mothers. And God drove them out of the old land. That was one of their sins. Turn to Micah 7. This is a prophecy of the end of the age. And terribly enough, we see it being fulfilled. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. And God often characterized Israel as fruit. They were to be the first fruits. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. And you read the rest of Micah here, it's a description of this terrible time of wickedness and evil and disobedience and murder and railing that would come upon the nation, upon the people, and the earth in the end of the age. Verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the men of his own house. Verse 13, notwithstanding the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. In other words, they would be punished for this evil, for this wickedness, which would include rising up against their own parents. And God knows we see this in this land today. They tell us that somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million young people run away from home every year. Running away from home, of course, is rebellion against your parents, against your father and mother. And it's become a common thing in this land. It's one of the signs of the end of the age, and it should not happen in Christian homes. People who believe God's word should understand God has told us these things. Turn to Ephesians 6. This is in the New Testament, directly at the children. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the Old Testament commandment. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So here God's command is carried over into the New Testament times and, of course, for us today. Proverbs 23 again, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of them. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. In other words, young people, children, boys and girls who honor their fathers and their mothers will be a joy to parents. If you want to give your mother or your father a Mother's Day or a Father's Day present on their day or any day, give them yourself as an obedient child. It is the greatest gift that you can give to your father or your mother. In fact, we know from the scripture, and I think we know this from our own human experience, that no matter what a child does, the mother will never cease to love him. This is literally true, except, of course, where you run into situations where the mother would be involved with drugs, alcohol, and things like that. But where her mind is not injured by some foreign or alien substance, a mother will always love her child regardless of what the child does. So the child can very simply do that which will make his mother happy, not by giving her great monetary presents, not by doing some great thing for her, other than honoring her, obeying her, listening to her, and showing her that he loves her because he will do what she says and listen to what she says. The greatest gift that we can give a mother is to obey God's command to honor her all the days of our life. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you that thou hast given us this book of wisdom, this book of instruction, this book which tells us and we know will show us the right way, the good way, the divine way of life upon the earth. And we pray that you'll help us to see and understand this, to make us know this, that in our heart thou hast given us the way for loving families, for children and grandchildren, for the ages and the generations to go, where there's no break in the continuity, because they have honored thy word and obeyed thee in all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.